Lesson number 5, we trust him. Now in our lesson so far, we have seen activities that we must do, many of which we cannot understand. We really cannot understand how God can be just in letting Jesus Christ die in our stead. But he is just. That's one of the final realities that will come clearly into mind after the judgment of the great white throne, after the millennium. Just and holy are thy ways, the universe will say. And when God's plans are carried out, he will be proved to be just, and every man that has accused him will be a liar. Now we must trust that God is able to do this. And trust is the committal of ourselves, leaning upon him, taking our stand upon him, allowing his way and his will to be the platform of all our activities. What is the basis of trust? On what is it built? Now, Jesus said to the ruler, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Except you see signs and wonders. We always want the visible. And you know, most of the things in life that we really trust, we have no visible evidence, no visible proof. I trust my wife. I know she loves me. I couldn't prove that to save my neck. I've got a great amount of evidence. I know it to be so. But to give scientific proof of it, that is an impossibility. And so when Jesus Christ called the attention of this man to the fact that he wanted to see signs and wonders, he suddenly realized that there was a larger basis, a more sure word than any sense, and he believed. Part number one, the man believed. Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. Now why did he believe? Tone of voice? The look in Christ's eyes? The circumstances in which the words were spoken? Those events, those works, those miracles of which he had heard, of which there were 1,000 witnesses all around him? And then there was a richer evidence within himself. The Spirit bore witness with his spirit that the words of Jesus Christ were true. There came a restful, trustful committal. In fact, he didn't bother to go home that night. He knew everything was well. He knew everything was happy. And so he saw his friends and did his business. And the next day he said, what time did he get better when his servants told him he was well? And he recorded, yes, just when Jesus said, thy son liveth, right at that moment, he knew that it had been carried out. And it's this kind of attitude, this belief. Now in the New Testament, belief and faith are interchangeable terms. They come from the same Greek word. So I believe and I exercise faith because my inner being responds to the indwelling spirit that the outer words and challenges of God are true. Not only the nobleman believed, but part number two, the woman believed. Was this a chance encounter? Perhaps the woman thought so. She had gone at noon to draw a pitcher of water. Jesus Christ was waiting for the disciples to go to the village and buy some lunch. He was sitting in the shade of Jacob's well there at Sychar, and this woman was there. It was not by chance. No man cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. So God's Spirit had drawn this woman right there at that particular point, that particular day. She was unaware of it, but she had come. Perhaps later on when she analyzed her feelings, she could say, oh yeah, I got an impression that I should go at that time, a little earlier, a little later. Who knows? But she was there. And then Jesus made the move. Give me a drink. He wanted a service from her. He was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. He was trying to break down racial barriers. And then he talked to her about her life. Go bring your husband. I haven't got a husband. Well, really, I suppose legally that's true, Christ said. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your legal husband. And she realized that God could discern her heart. But she was unperturbed, because in the tone of Jesus Christ, there was nothing that condemned her. He was just accepting her the way she was. He was taking her as he had found her. There was nothing censorious, nothing judgmental. He was aware of her state. Still he wanted water from her hand. Still he wanted her to do him a favor, a service. He didn't repulse her. And something in her spirit responded to this genial, affectionate, knowledgeable approach of Jesus Christ. And she left the water pot, took off for the village, and began her evangelistic missionary career. The woman believed. Part number three. Who did they believe? The man from Galilee. But others didn't believe. Others said, this is Christ. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Prejudice. This wasn't even racial prejudice. This was local prejudice. One part of the country against the other. Maine against Appalachia. Virginia against Louisiana. Regional prejudice. Can any good thing come out of Galilee, out of Nazareth? Others said, this is Christ. Same evidence. Same evidence to the people who said this is Christ, as to those who said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth or Galilee? Why did some people say this is Christ, and some people call up their prejudice? They refused to yield to the inner response. Now they knew that Christ was about to come. All people were talking. They knew the evidences of the miraculous working of Christ that he had given. The dead were raised, and the deaf heard, and the dumb spoke, and the lame walked, and the lepers were cleansed. They could list all these things. Now who did all this? Well, Jesus of Nazareth. Carpenter? Well, why not? Out of Nazareth? Why not? From Galilee? Well, why not? What are they doing? They're making preconception and prejudice. Prejudice is prejudging. Judging apart from evidence. Allowing preconception to supervene and smother. Stilling the voice within them. Going their own way, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Refusing to commit their lives to him. Part number four, the man from above. Not only is he the man from Galilee, not only is he the carpenter of Nazareth, but he is a man from above. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. Now, Jesus is acknowledging that he comes from above. No man ascended, but he that descended, even the Son of Man. Jesus is the one who has come and gone from heaven many times. He knows the affairs of men. He came down to talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day after the fall. He spoke with Gideon. He spoke with Abraham. In fact, there are 10 times in the Old Testament in which Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, talking, revealing his will to strange people, to the father and mother of Samson, among others. He's come down many times and ascended up. He doesn't need anyone to tell him what is in man. He made man. He's above man. Now he shared the lot of man. He became flesh. He became flesh as children become flesh. He took the same route. The children are partakers of flesh and blood. He himself also likewise partook of the same. He came after 4,000 years of hereditary weakness. In fact, the body that he lived in was specially prepared for him, so that it might be tempted in all points like as we are. Like as we are. Not like as I am. I'm only a part of it. But like as everyone that ever came into the world was tempted. The accumulated temptations of accumulated mankind, Jesus Christ met. His body was the arena for the conflict with sin that every man has to fight. He is the man from above. He is the man from Galilee. He gave himself for me. He sent his Spirit. And as I think of this, that same Spirit brings up a response in my own soul. I want to be like him. I want to give my love to him, my life to him, my power to him, my mind to him. And so I believe. Part number 5, you may believe too. And John says that if everything that was written, that Jesus did, was written in a book, the world wouldn't be able to contain it. But the things that have been written to induce in us a belief, that he might believe, and that believing he might have life through his name. So where does believing come? Believing comes by hearing the word. Faith cometh by the word. So I read the Bible, and the Bible tells me about God, about his greatness and his majesty. I read the Psalms, I read Genesis, I read Job, I read Isaiah, and I see God supreme. Then I study the sanctuary and I read the Gospels and I see God in Christ, humbling himself, substitute, dying for man. And I watch him over human history, starting from the Garden of Eden, meeting man in every need, pleading, helping, persuading, sustaining, loving, counseling, criticizing, condemning, and appealing, opening up a way of escape. I see it all. And then I say to myself, I must believe. The evidences are there. And on the evidences of what I read, I give myself to Jesus in complete trusting committal. Part number 6, when you pray. When you pray, believe that he received what you ask, and you shall have the promises. Now, we don't take isolated verses on prayer. We take the cumulative teaching of the Bible on prayer. The cumulative teaching tells me that I must ask in the name of Christ what he stands, what are his ideas. I couldn't pray that the Lord will help me to murder somebody. That's not his will. But when I find myself within the circlet of his will, then when I ask him for anything that will help me stay in that circle, that will help me grow in that circle, help me to be ready when the ultimate is reached, then he will give me whatever I ask and more than I can ask or think. Let us pray as we study this lesson that we may indeed trust him enough to give the keeping of our soul to him forever.